All right. Good morning, Kingdom greetings. This is a good day to be in the house of the Lord, I tell you. Because there's joy. What is it? Hope? Peace? And joy. We'll get to love next week, you know, but, you know, somebody could, you know, sometimes you could ask yourself, how must I keep the fire burning? That's a simple question, right? But let's say you have a fire, right? And you want to keep it burning. What must you do? Put some wood on it, right? Yep. So how do we keep the fire of God burning in our lives?
Put some word on it.
Apply the word in your life. Obey the word. Live by the word. That's where it's at. You know, and I'm seeking God's. You know, it's like every day, like I told you before, every day with the Lord is better. God is a God of seasons, so He moves with us throughout the seasons, and He doesn't want to leave us in the dark, right? Jesus is the light of the world. I told you last week I love Christmas lights. This year I got a new revelation on Christmas lights. The light, it's like this is the month everything is lit up. Right? There's one house in your community right there, right? That one house back there, my goodness. I mean, they've got some weird stuff going on, but it's lit up because Jesus is the reason for the season. Father, I humble myself before you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I really need you for the next couple of minutes. Not only I need you, but also I just release the spirit of understanding. The Holy Spirit, you're the one that come and takes what belongs to Father and reveal it to our hearts. Lord, I'm not going to try to convict anybody because it's not my position, but I know it's your position. So therefore, as I stand up here, Father, I humble myself before you and I ask, Lord, that you would use your words to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to equip us and make us ready for every good work. In the name of Yeshua, I pray. God's people says, amen. So last week I was talking to you about one of the reasons Jesus came, right? You remember the title? I spoke to you from 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, the Son of God appeared to do what? To destroy, come on, help me out. The Son of God came to do what? To destroy the work of the enemy. So therefore, if you allow the Son of God in your life, you know what He's going to do? Help me out. Come on, you can do better than that. All right, well, maybe I should use me as an example. If I allow the Lord in my life, He's going to do what in my life? Destroy the work of the enemy in my life. Remember, Jesus is not like demons. Demons go where they're not invited. Anything, any little opening demons found, he's gonna go, the demon's gonna come in. Not only when he comes, he does three things, right? Kill, steal, and destroy. But the Son of God, when we invite him in, what does he do? He brings life. Not only that, the way he brings life, he started by changing things around. Some of us don't like that. Do we dismiss the kids today? No? No. What's today? Third. Yeah, we don't dismiss them. That's fine. He can talk. you know, in January, we're going to have a sit down with the parents, some of the parents we have. We don't have many kids, but, you know, church is not a place for kids to come and play. But we understand sometimes you might keep them distracted, give them a crane or whatever. But they hear. Faith comes by hearing. It's good for them to hear. But also, anyway, I'll come back to that. So go to John chapter 1. I give you an assignment last week to study or read the book of 1 and 2 John. I hope you did. And if you did, you were blessed. If you didn't, try it again. Read the book of 1 John. You know, I was talking to a brother. Actually, I was talking to Robert. He said he had a challenge. I remember this. I'm going to use it, Robert. He said he had a challenge for somebody to read the book of First. Was this First John? First John. He's like, all right, I'm not going to challenge that, but I thought that was pretty good. The book of First John, if you read that book, you take it to heart. You don't change your life. The Holy Spirit doesn't change your life. I'll take you to any restaurant you want to. That's what Robert said. Robert will take you. You know? And I was thinking about that. And for the amount of time I spent personally in the book of 1 John, I realized, my goodness, that book will make you like Christ. If you take to heart every word from the book 1 John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, you will change. Because that book will introduce you to Jesus and open your eyes in a way. I tell you, read it again. Read it. Okay? So 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, this is what it says from the New King James. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the what? The word of life. Now listen to this. I want you to look at this. The word is in capital H. Okay? Is there a way to get them to kind of... Sometimes you got to do that. Okay? If you need some water, we'll get you some water. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, once again we declare to you, John is saying, I declare to you, that you also may have fellowship. In the word fellowship, you see covenant. It's not just knowing, you see commitment with us. And truly our fellowship with the Father. See, now you understand this verse. When we are in fellowship with the Father, when I am in fellowship with Jesus, you are in fellowship with Jesus. That fellowship you have with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and that fellowship I have with Jesus and the Holy Spirit will automatically link you and I. How many times I told you, when the enemy wants to destroy you, the first thing he's going to want to do with you is to remove you from the body. You remember, I used to be like that. When I have a problem in church or sin or whatever it is, the first thing that comes to mind is, I'm not going. Keep you away. That's not the will of God for you. John is saying here, what I've heard, what I've seen, what I've touched, I'm revealing to you so you can remain in fellowship with the Father and with us. And what it is, what is it? He says, our true fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Now let's jump to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 to 18 from the NLT. It says, for Christ Himself has brought us peace. Why did Jesus come? Why Jesus came? What's the reason for the season? We all know it. Jesus is the reason. But why did He come? And I really love this, because this is one of the verses in the Bible that describe why He came. For Christ Himself has brought us what? He came to give us what? Peace. Do you need peace? I need peace. Do I need hope? In such a hopeless world, do I need hope? Yes. Anybody needs joy? Oh, I need joy. That's why the Bible says to delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Find joy in the Lord. He came to bring us peace. He united who? Jews and Gentiles. Now, when you study church history or even history in itself, you'll understand Jews and Gentiles, Samaritans, they didn't do together. They didn't go together. There was such hostility between two people. But He came to unite those two groups into what? One. when in his own body, on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself a one new people. Let me tell you this. Stop right there. Everybody look at me. If any believer, so-called Christians, hate the body of Christ, you better think twice about your destination. Let me repeat. Let's say, if you don't like the church, because I hear people talk about the church, you know, during my sabbatical last month, one of the things the Lord kind of rebuked me on, the way we talk about the church. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. You know, you have preachers, people, church leaders, normal Christians that mess up. They do crazy things. I mean, nowadays you hear the internet is just exploding with pastors, leaders going crazy. You know, their secret life. That's why you must protect your integrity. You must protect your integrity is your backbone. Your reputation is what my reputation has nothing to do with anything. I got to protect not my reputation, my character. Because your character beside the Holy Spirit is the only thing that would protect the reputation. So now you hear people just, you know, going crazy, do crazy things. Of course, the news took it up and YouTube and all those things. And then you hear people talking about church. Be careful. Be careful. That's why I love it. Why it says what it says when it says in First John. You don't need to go there in First Peter, chapter 2, verse 21. It says God leaves us an example. You know who that example? It's Christ. First Peter, chapter 2, verse 21 says God leaves us an example to follow step by step. So I say to you, like Paul, okay, God put me here as your pastor. I'll do my best, not by my power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord, to set an example. But I'm not the Christ. You must keep your eyes on Jesus. Because people might fail you. It's heartbreaking when people say, well, you know what, I'll never go to church because so and so. We need the body of Christ. And I love this verse here in Ephesians. Because it once again put a lot of emphasis. One of the reasons Jesus came, he came to unite us in him. He came to make us one in him. You know, there's a person I met a couple months ago. You know, I said, so where do you go to church? The person says, well, I don't go to church. I mean, I go online church. Really? You know, during COVID, whatever, the year 2020, we all missed it. What was it? But you can't do church online. I mean, we put our services online for evangelistic reason. That's why I don't sweat over it if it doesn't work anymore. If I come here, nothing works, we're not going to sweat over it. Right, Jerry? I used to sweat over it. Focus. What's priority? We do it to evangelize. We do it, we have people that watch it everywhere. Last night I got a notification somebody in UK is using one of our video to, they monetize it. They're making money off of it. You know they can do that? People can cut your stuff. Something that's good, they cut it. Something that they think that's good, and then they can make money off of it. I said, let them be. Let the gospel go forth. I don't know what else to do. Anyway, God, it says, verse 15, he did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulation. When you study the Old Testament, there is nobody, no one could follow the law until Jesus came saying, God, Father, I'm going to be that ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice that would create new birth in people. So therefore, we get to live not by the law, but by the Spirit. But now understand this. The law of the Spirit does not abolish the law of God. Because sometimes people think, well, I am so free in the Holy Spirit, I can go and do whatever I want. Really? Earlier, we confess, we say, Jesus, you are the Lord. You are my Lord. You know what the Lord mean? What the Lord word Lord mean in the Greek? Owner. So I'm not my own. I belong to God. And think about it. We don't like the idea of being slave, but I'm a slave to God. But Jesus says, I don't call you slave, I call you friends. But in my mindset, I belong. I don't belong to myself. That's why Paul says, I don't live by what I feel, what I sense. My goodness. See those people that live with their senses? See how much trouble they fall into? And sometimes when we live by the Spirit, that helps us to shut our mouth. But at the same time, when we live by the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit helps us to speak when we must. See the balance? Verse 17. Jesus brought this good news of peace to you, Americans, Gentiles, who were far away. I see myself in here. Away from him. And peace to Jews who were near. Verse 18, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. You know, in this verse, I realize something here. Relationships of heavenly relationship are held together with honor. That's why one of our philosophy here, we honor. In a culture of honor, you honor people. In my marriage, I honor her. In my relationship with my children, I honor her. In my relationship with all of you, I honor you. In my relationship with my neighbors, I honor them. Do they deserve honor? It doesn't matter. Because it's a lot easier to honor somebody when we think they deserve it, right? I don't know about you, but I'm talking for myself. It's a lot easier for me to honor someone when I think they deserve it. But that's not what the word says. The word of God says to honor all people. You know? Because this is what we find in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Fear casts out all love. Man, I tell you, it doesn't matter how you grew up, how you were brought up. Man, sometimes I hear people talk about how they were brought up, and I look at my life, I'm like, yeah, I kind of brought up the same way. But man, I met Jesus, he changed me. Guys, God bless my father. When I say this stuff with no bitterness. I love my dad. You know, he needs to come to the Lord. But I was beaten by him. I was verbally abused by him. I was physically abused by him. You know, if it would be for him, I wouldn't finish high school. Because he dropped us, we all were going to a private school. And he stopped paying when he started arguing with my mom and left the house. Left my mom with five of us. I was the oldest. So for years, I hated the guy. For years. And I tell people, if anybody had a reason to be a failure, I did. I had every reason to be a failure. But man, thank God, glory to God, I met Jesus. I met Jesus. And then he changed my mind. He changed my life, changed my life. And then I know who I am in him. So I'm like, and I love, there's a verse down below. It's going to talk about, it's in 1 John. It talks about love. You know, in heaven, every tribe, every tongue, every people will confess. It's in John chapter 13, verse 35. Don't go there. This is what it says. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciple. But do you know? I mean, you already know. Let me remind you. You can't love people if you can't love yourself. Now, be careful. There's a big movement out there, you should love yourself. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you should, don't worship yourself. As a matter of fact, you should die to yourself. Because yourself, if you're not careful, yourself will keep you out of heaven. But they will know we are Christian by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christian by the way we love. But how can we love if we can't love ourselves? God changed my mind, revolutionized my mind, my thoughts, and then I start liking myself. I was maybe 16. I went to a pier down in Haiti. I wanted to commit suicide. First time. The last time too. I kind of knew of God. I'm like, Lord, this life is terrible. I went to the water. I'm like, man, I'm going to kill myself. And I'm looking at the water. I'm like, and then I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say, Ricardo, come on, what are you doing here? And I started crying. I felt like, just leave. I left. That was the last time I encountered something like that. They will know. If any Christian have racial sentiment in them, they must repent and bring it to the cross. You know, it's very sad. I saw it even in my own country. You know, this is something, it's a very sensitive subject when people talk about white, black, yellow, green. Yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. You know? But do you know some people are racist? There can't be any racist in God. That's why don't ever let anybody look down on you because of your skin color. Now, I'm not belittling racism. Racism exists. Slavery was wrong. Talking about slavery, that was a mindset straight from the pit of hell. And then I grew up. I'm sitting here in my class as a little boy. I'm growing up, you know, I'm learning Haitian history. I love it. And I'm like, man, and my teacher, he taught us in a mindset to really hate the white man. I hated white people. And then, of course, my wife is white. God's got a good sense of humor. Guys, I grew up with this. Every time I would see a white person in Haiti, I would curse them. I didn't know better. I mean, and when I read the story, I'm like, man, why would you do this to another human being? And then you put everybody in the same, every colored. But then the more I learn, the more I grow in the Lord, I realize the spirit of racism is not just against Jews and Gentiles, white and black, even between black and black. Because in Haiti, we've got many colors. Like me in Haiti, I'm a little more clearer. My skin is not as dark. My kids are actually above me because their skin is a little lighter than mine. So people with darker skin than me, people like me, they've got a racist. I'm like, that must get out in the Church of Christ. There's no place for such mindset in the Church of Christ. Now, you wonder why I'm saying we must read the book of 1 John. Because we cannot say we love God and don't know how to love people, how to treat people. You know, I've heard someone says it, it's kind of graphic, but you can't not love God and treat people like garbage. Because there's nobody that ever see a piece of garbage thinking, man, I'm going to keep this. Put it out. Because if you don't, it starts to stink. You don't want it. Oh, are you with me? You know, I found this from reading the book of 1 John also last week. I found this truth, this absolute truth about sin. When we know God, when you encounter the nature, the divine nature of Jesus, you're going to hate sin. If you sin, you will confess and you will fight it. You will hate it. Man, I hate sin. I hate confessing. Man, that's a spiritual. It says when you become mature, you kind of foreseen the result. It's like, why would I cheat somebody? Because if I cheat somebody, I'm not going to sleep tonight. Why? Because the seed, 1 John chapter 3, the seed, the Holy Spirit is in me. So therefore, if I cheat someone, I won't be able to sleep. But then it's not like I can go to Jesus. I'm like, oh God, man, Lord, I should have just charged him $50. I charge him $750, Lord. Oh Lord God, man, I can't sleep, Father. But now, okay, I gotta return the $700. But not only that, I can't just keep it between me and the Lord. I must confess that to somebody else. And that's where a lot of people, they get stuck because they don't want to confess. I tell you, when you have sin in your life, one of the best way to start stepping into deliverance is to confess it. That's not pretty. But then by the power of the Holy Spirit, you become wise and you become emboldened, empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit to keep saying no to the deeds of darkness. And that's what it talks about in 1 John. And I want to finish with this. Actually, I want to just add this. I'll give you those three signs from the book of 1 John. The three signs that I see in mature Christians, those three signs would be evident. There would be fruit in your life. The first one is submission. A true believer would submit to the lordship of Jesus, to the supreme power, to the Wu. I said it earlier. It's not I that live. I live by a higher Wu. I'm Haitian American, but you know what? I'm a citizen of heaven. You Americans, some of you are Puerto Rican American, African American, Haitians American. Jamaican, sorry, I can't miss that one. Some people in Jamaica can't believe. But you know, that's right. You know, I love it. But my primary citizenship is kingdom citizen. So I live by a higher power. I live by a higher rule. I have a higher constitution. This is it. I must know my constitution. So I live according to the will of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. From the King James, it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I was telling Kendra today, I said, this week, believe it or not, I'm so irritated. I'm like, Lord, I feel good. Everything's good. I'm like, I'm good with you, Jesus. Why am I so irritated? But you know what? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. In my irritation, I have self-control. I feel irritated in my flesh. But am I gonna snap on somebody? No. Maybe I need to go away by myself for a couple hours, just be alone. What do you deal with? My brothers and sisters, until we see the Lord face to face, never assume you have no sin. Because if we do, you're fooling ourselves. That's why the message of repentance is at the center of the gospel. I repent every day. I repent, I change my life every day. When you live in the Word, you realize the Word is changing you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, it says, the test of knowing Him. Now by this we know Him, if we keep His commandment. Number one, submission, living a life of submission to the Lordship of Jesus. That's what I want for our church. I want us to live a life in submission. Do not resist the word. When God speaks to you, repent. When the Holy Spirit brings something to your attention, confess it. You will be happy. You will feel better. That might even heal your back pain, your knee pain. And I tell you, you sleep better. You say, how do I know? I just know. I've been experiencing it. Number two, the other sign of reading the book of 1 John, I realize a true believer will seek to live a lifestyle according to Christ. Man, my favorite quote is this. You go in my office, you see it in the back. What would Jesus do? Keep this in perspective. Every situation, what would Jesus do? If you're truly a disciple of Christ, everything you face, you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this? And you know what? By the power of the Holy Spirit, He will tell you. He will always tell you, lead you into the truth. What would He do? This is what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. How do we know that's possible? Let's answer this question first. The Holy Spirit, Jesus live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a true believer will share Jesus' life. How do you share Jesus' life? Jesus live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Spirit. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. So He experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. He was led by the Holy Spirit. He spoke and taught by the Holy Spirit. That's why I realized, unless the Holy Spirit speaks to you, man, I could bang on the drum until I die. Nobody will change. But I tell you, if the Holy Spirit find room in your heart, if your heart is soft to receive His word, in your devotion at home, He will change you. And when I use His word to teach you, to preach, your heart will be open to receive it. Jesus also cast out devils by His Spirit. Do you know, as we talk about Christmas, He came to Him to give you authority. You shouldn't be afraid of demons. I'll be talking more about that. The authority of the believer. The power we have. It's amazing. Some people are actually afraid of demons. You never want to ask the Lord to give you, open your eyes to see some of the demons that are in our community. They're around. But when you sense them, may you feel the power of God by the Holy Spirit to cast them out. Jesus was offered to Calvary by the Spirit. He was resurrected by the Spirit. So that's why for us, we're not afraid of death, because we know we have eternal life. He was baptized and empowered. He empowered His church, us, to live by the Spirit. So then, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. Condition. What's the condition to be in fellowship with Jesus? Walking in the light. And then not only that, we walk in the light with Him. That's why if I'm walking in the light, you walking in the light, in the light of Christ, we're going to stay connected. But the moment I start drifting from the light, guess what I'm going to want to do? Away from you. That's a simple principle. Simple principle. I see it all the time. You know, somebody's so connected. They wanna be involved. They love Jesus. And all of a sudden something happened and they start drifting. It's not you. It's not me. The problem is the drifting from the light. Because when you connect to the light, I connect to the light, you know what's going to happen? We're going to want to be connected. We're going to want to work it out. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Those who say they live in God should also live as Jesus did. My goodness. Whew. Somebody says, is it possible? Well, yeah, it is. If the word says so, it is, right? If the word says so, it is. Is it possible to live like Christ did? Man, I want to live like Christ. Anybody else? You know, sometimes you think it's impossible. Do you know sometimes church people think it's impossible to live like Christ? You're like, well, we only human, you know, we human, we weak. You know, that's what the Bible didn't say that. It says in 1 John, if the seed, the Holy Spirit in Christ, of Christ is in you, it is impossible for you to sin. I'll talk about that maybe in the coming weeks, because this idea might right there could be like, man, are Christians perfect? Are we supposed to be perfect? You know, some people might think, man, this book is kind of a perfectionist type of book. It's saying, if we know God, we never sin. Is that possible? That's not what it's saying in the Word. It's saying, but if the seed of Christ is in you, that seed gives you the ability. Believe me, you hate sin. You come against it. You hate the work of the enemy. That's why even at home, there are certain movies you can't even watch. Even certain things, you can't even entertain yourself in it. Why? It's just like, I just can't. And I tell you, until another church goer gets what we're talking about right now, they're going to think you're crazy. But for those of us who know what I'm talking about, you're like, yeah, that's right. Because when I sin, I can't sleep. When I sin, I've got spiritual backache. When I sin, I've got spiritual headache. When I sin, it's worse than COVID. It kills me. You know, right now it's COVID, right? It's kind of cancer, you know? It destroyed the spirit man. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. It says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So I told you from the book of 1 John, we're talking about why Jesus came. He came to destroy the work of the enemy in our lives. And then I come up with those signs that I see that are relevant in the life of a believer, a true believer. Number one, you remember what it was? Submission to the Lordship of Jesus. Number two, seeking to live a life according to God's will, a lifestyle like Christ. What would Jesus do? You know, he lives by the Spirit. And then, number three, he shows love of Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whoever have been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. You see, now, this is what this verse is saying. If you're born again, you have the ability by the Spirit to say no to unrighteousness because the seed of God dwells in you. Man, it's like not by power. I can't do it, not by Ricardo, but by the Spirit. That's why I must die to myself daily. See, we don't avoid sin first to come to God. We come to God. He sets us free from sin. I mean, I used to talk to people, you know, go in, you know, evangelize, and people, you know, I'd talk to somebody. It's like, are you willing to give your life to the Lord? It's like, no, I'm not ready. Why do you think they're not ready? Well, many reasons. Well, why do you think you're not ready? You know, I want to get married first. You know, I'm living with my girlfriend, with my boyfriend, you know. I've got this thing I'm doing right now. I know it's not the will of the Lord. I'm not ready. People say it. They say it to me. I said, really? We don't have tomorrow. Oh, I've got to do this because people think I must clean myself first before I go to God. Can't do that. I must present myself acceptable to the Lord. Come as you are. Because when you come as you are and you really let him in, you know what happened? He changed things. I'll ask Alyssa to come play. And I'm going to finish with this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been made right with God by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Remember this, as you celebrate the season, Jesus, He came to give us hope. Remember this, we've been made right with God. That in itself should keep you every day joyful. Because I am right with God. That's the good news, guys. I am right with the Lord. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Amen? Man, what a good news. I'm going to share His glory. Verse 3, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Oh, this is Romans here. Verse 3, it says, when you run into tribulations, I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe you're going through some tough stuff. But it says, we can rejoice when we run into problems. For we know that those problems help us develop endurance. I love this. You know, and do you know what endurance is? Endurance is the capacity to resist when the storm comes through. Oh, you know, this morning I pray that you'd be able to endure. I pray that you'd be able to endure. Whatever your season is, I pray you'd be able to hold tight to your faith. Hold tight to Christ. Because Christ did not promise us a world free problem. I mean, a problem-free world. A problem-free world. A trouble-free world. But those who endure, those who learn to rejoice in their problem, they will develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead you to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us His Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. If you truly follow Jesus, you can't hate anybody. If you truly following Jesus, you're gonna have hope. If you truly following Jesus, you will experience His peace. If you truly following Jesus, you know what's gonna happen? Your joy will be complete. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning. Ah, Lord, Holy Spirit. Jesus. We thank You that You came, Father. We thank You that You came to destroy the work of the enemy in each of our lives today. Father, this morning we give You access again. We give You room. We give You room, Father, to continue to destroy the work of the enemy in our lives. Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord. Let's sing that one. You alone. Let this make this your request this morning. You alone. You alone desire. You alone may my spirit heal.
Let this be a prayer right now. Thank you.
the deer.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after you. Father, this is our request this morning. You alone, our heart's desire. Lord, I thank you for the way you are just keeping our oil burning. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the way you love us, to empowering us with your word. So Lord, today as we go, I pray that your favor would continue to rest on us, Lord. That we would be known as citizens of heaven, people who encounter Jesus on a daily basis. Lord, I bless these, your sons and your daughters. I ask that your peace would dwell with them. I ask, Lord, that the weapons, the plans that the enemy has over us, that that plan would be, has no effect. Why? Because we are under the blood of Jesus. Under the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are our strength, that you are our shield. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing here. We submit to your word. In Jesus' name, God's people says, amen. Well, the Lord bless you guys. May he keep you. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.